I'm a man who tries to just do my best to follow the Lord and to follow the Spirit. And I felt to prepare this message in English. So it's going to be a short message. Het gaan 'n kort boodskap wees. And then the second half of the message is going to be ek wil nie sê dit gaan getuienisse wees nie, dit gaan belydenisse wees. So laas naweek was ek en Philip en Jan en ons vrouens was by die al die Josh Jane ouderlinge kom begin van die jaar by mekaar. En ek huiwer nou al om te sê dat ons visie kry, want ons kry nie visie nie. Die Here roep ons net terug na wat is waarheid, waar het ons weggeslip, weggedryf van ons eerste liefde af. So die eerste, ja, wanneer ons as ouderlinge, dit is nou al die Josh Jane gemeentes, ons is so ongeveer, Jan, was seker 400 mense gewees, ja, mans en vrouens, wat by mekaar gekom het en die Here se aangesig gesoek het. En ek wil vir julle wat vanaand hier sit in hierdie gemeente, ek wil vir julle sê, en ek sê nie dit om enigiets, Josh Jane is net 'n naam. Die Here kan nie meer worry oor die naam Josh Jane nie. Dis net 'n naam, dis net 'n tool. Maar ek wil vir julle sê, en ek dink Philip en Jan sal getuig, as ons is 'n gemeente, en as die ouderlinge by mekaar kom, ons is in 'n veilige huis, waar die leiers regtig die Here se leiding soek, en regtig sy hart soek, en dat ons nie, ja, Josh Jane het nie 'n strategie vir hoe gaan ons die kerk groei nie. Ons een strategie is dying to live, vertrou op Jesus, hou jou oë op Jesus, fokus op Jesus. Alright, so dit is, as julle ons nie laas naweek gesien het nie, ons was daar gewees, en ons kon dit nie betyds terugmaak vir die diens nie. Die titel van my boodskap, van my kort boodskap is Redeeming Repentance. Redeeming Repentance. En as jy dit lees, you should be able to read it in two ways. When you read it, it should have actually a double meaning. Redeeming repentance, redeeming repentance. Does it make sense? I'll explain it if you don't catch it. The first meaning of the title describes the heart of God when it comes to repentance. God's repentance is always, but God's repentance that He gives us, because God does, julle geweet, God has never to repent, because He's never sinned. So in a way it can't call it God's repentance, but it's something He has given us. But repentance is always redemptive. Repentance is about coming, the word simply means I'm going this way and I repent. In other words, I turn around and I go back to Jesus. When we were singing Psalm 103, I was thinking of the fact that I'm called into the ministry by God. And I'm like, God, you are ridiculous because I should not be standing here. When I was in high school, I was addicted to pornography. I was swearing and cussing. I was going to parties. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was doing everything that to turn my back on God. But by His mercy and His grace, He saved me. And as we were singing Psalm 103, I'm thinking, God, who am I that You are mindful of me? Because Christopher was a wretched sinner. Guys, I don't know how God does His maths, because I should not be standing here. But by His mercy, by His grace, Jesus started His ministry and He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the message of God's kingdom, the message of God's rule and His reign starts with repentance. Jesus' first words when He started His ministry, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So the first meaning of the title, it describes the nature of repentance. When God calls us to repent, God, He does it because He's redeeming us. Hy wil jou terugbring na Hom toe. Hy wil nie hê jy moet sit met skuldgevoel in 'n plek waar jy voel soos ek is wurmbolie nie. En daar bly nie. Dit is nie sy hart nie. Hy wil nie hê jy moet nou eers voel hoe dit voel om in daai gat te sit daaronder voor jy uit dit uitklim nie. Now God's heart when he calls you to repentance is he wants to redeem you. Hy wil jou red. Hy wil jou uit die gat uitlig because his plans are good plans for your life. The second meaning is the more subtle one. It's redeeming the word repentance because I fear in the church and among Christians the word repentance has got a bad rap. A negative stigma has attached to the word repentance. If you don't believe me, every single Sunday we create a space in this church, in this congregation, where we call you to repent. Firstly, for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. As jy vandag hier sit en jy ken nie vir Jesus nie, gaan ek aan die einde van hierdie boodskap 'n geleentheid skep vir jou om jou hart vir Jesus te gee, want daar kan geen belangriker besluit in jou lewe wees nie. But secondly, as Christians, as Christene, we struggle with repentance. Because we are scared to stand up out of our chairs and to say, God, that word was for me. God, you spoke to me. I need... It doesn't matter the degree or how deep or... If you realize that God is speaking to you, you should always act on that... You should always respond in geloof, in faith. But you know what? We struggle with that. And I'm going to give you three reasons. You can volgende slide opsit. I'm going to give you three reasons why we struggle with repentance. The first one is pride. Trots. We are human beings who don't like to admit fault. I got one amen. Okay, I'm going to just try that again. We don't like admitting fault. There's still room for improvement. Repentance is an arrow that destroys our pride. You cannot be proud and repent. The very act of repentance is it's to humble yourself before Jesus. It's to say, God, I admit I've missed the mark. I admit that I've fallen short of the glory of God. God, I've missed your standard. I come humbly before you and I ask your forgiveness. That's how we come into the kingdom. I said Jesus' first words were repent for the kingdom of heaven. When I got saved, I was 16 years old. I had to admit that my sin was standing against me and I had to say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. Heal me from my disease. Heal me from my hard-heartedness. Forgive me from everything that I've done wrong. But most of all, forgive me because I have no desire for you in my heart. You see, it's one thing to admit our sins. It's another thing to admit in our hearts that our hearts do not desire Him. We and you, me and you, we are made for Him. You are made to worship Him. You are most yourself when you live in relationship with Him. And that's the most difficult thing, is to admit that we don't want that. And so I would say repentance in itself is a work of God's grace. You cannot repent if you do not see the grace of God before you. I want to go so far as you cannot repent if you don't see Jesus on the cross. Because it's His death on the cross that reveals the grace, the mercy of God for me and for you. So it's our pride. Our pride stands in the way. The second thing is shame. Skande. We sit there and God speaks to us. And we know that we have to respond. Something in our heart is like, your heart begin vinniger klop. And you know that God is speaking to you. but you fear what the person next to you is going to think about you. You feel that if I respond now, I'm going to be ashamed because I should be perfect because everyone else is perfect. No, I want to say there is no shame in repentance. Daar is geen skande in bekering nie. When you repent, God gets the glory. Wanneer jy bekeer, wanneer jy acknowledge dat jy die Here nodig het, God gets the glory. There's no shame in repentance. In this church, I don't think we get it right as we should. But I want to say this church is a no shame zone. Or at least it should be. Because the kingdom of God has no shame in it. When someone turns to Jesus, when I turn to Jesus for the first time, there was no shame. In fact, when I turned to Jesus for the first time, it was the fact that God would love me and forgive me in spite of everything that I have done against Him. And the fact that He took everything I've done and He put it on Jesus and He said to me, Christopher, free and forgiven. No shame. No, jy moet eers 'n bietjie langer gaan voel het om daaronder te wees. Sit eers nog 'n bietjie langer en sit met jou skuld en dra jou skuld. No, the moment when one's turned to the Lord, He is quick to forgive. He is quick to heal. He is quick to redeem. He is quick to restore. He is the Father of mercy. Amen. Hy is die Vader van barmhartigheid. Die derde rede hoekom ons sukkel met repentance is want ons is deceived. Christopher, wat bedoel jy? Ons is deceived. Ons lewe in 'n kultuur waar die woord sonde nie meer krag dra nie. Dis asof die woord sonde, ons praat nie meer van sonde nie, ons praat van foute. Of ons sê goed soos ek is maar net 'n mens. Ek is nie perfek nie. Of ons almal maak foute. Jy sien die, kom ek lees vir wat ek hier gesê skryf. The culture of the world has infiltrated our theology. We no longer take sin seriously. Almal maak foute. Ek het dit nie so bedoel nie. Ek is maar net 'n mens. We have bought into an anti-gospel self-help. You can manifest what you think by thinking good and positive thoughts. That is a gospel from the pit of hell. It will not save you. You can think positively as much as you. Don't get me wrong. If you're only thinking negative, then there's a problem. But you cannot heal yourself by positive thinking. Then Jesus died in vain. The problem that you deal with in your life is called sin. Dit word genoem sonde. En daar's net een wat die prys vir sonde betaal het. En sy naam is Jesus. Want hy alleen was sonder sonde. Hy alleen is die een wat eintlik nie hoef te gesterf het nie, because die woord sê the wages of sin is death. So there was one man who lived on this earth for 33 years and he never sinned. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin. Hy wat geen sonde geken het nie, het sonde op homself geneem so that you can become the righteousness of God. But we are deceived. We no longer take sin seriously. When we sin, we say, ach, dit was maar net 'n foutjie. Of ek het dit nie so bedoel nie, die Here. No, we need to start calling sin, sin again. Because if we're not calling sin, sin, we're not repenting. If we're not spending time in God's word, it's not called busyness, it's called sin. And it requires repentance. If you're struggling to love other people, it's not called I'm not a people's person. It's called sin. You're missing the mark. God has made you to love other people. You need to repent. He has made you to love other people. So it's called deception. We are deceived. I want to read you Psalm 51, two portions, and I want to ask you, when last have your prayers before God, you just you and God, wanneer laatst het jou gebede iets soos dit geklink? Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is judged. Ach, just. I want to ask you, when last have you prayed, have your prayers sounded something like that? I want to read you another portion. It goes on, verse 8 to 12. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. You see, if our prayers, there's a balance to today's preach, and I'm not going to balance today's preach, but there is a balance. I'm not, if, as jy al die psalms gaan lees, almal klink nie so nie. But if there's nothing of this in your prayer life, I think it means that we don't understand, or we don't take our sin seriously, because our sins separate us from God. And by sin, I just want to say it again. By sin, I mean not just swearing, not just watching pornography, not just doing those obvious things that are wrong, but by everything in our life that is not orientated towards God. That is sin. Acts 3 verse 19 to 20 shows us the heart of Jesus when it comes to repentance. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Jesus delights in blotting out every single sin that stands against your name. And there is no sin. Say something, there is no sin. Say something, there is no sin that Jesus cannot blot out from your life. What happens when we repent? That times of refreshing. Say some times of refreshing. The word burnout has become such a big popular word. And I think it's real, and we have to deal with it, and we have to face it and be honest about it. But I think a lot of it can just actually be traced down to a people who have stopped repenting. Because if we repent, Jesus says, times of refreshing will come from His presence, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. I'm going to skip the next part. I want to end off with Revelation 3 verse 19 to 21. Yes, I'm going to skip a whole bunch of things I wanted to say. I feel it's not necessary to say it, but you can, if you want to go do Bible study or read your Bible this week, I encourage you to go read Revelation 1 to 3, where Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is writing letters to seven churches. And he gives every church, he knows every church's name. He gives them, there's five churches that he gives them the problem. He names the sin that they are doing. And it's not just an individual, it's a church. He names the sin that they are tolerating or that they are doing. He gives them a warning, but then he calls them to repentance, and then he gives them a promise. What will happen if they choose to repent? And that for me is the most important aspect of today's message, is that God, His hands towards me and you, is an open hand for repentance. He has good things that He wants to give us. When He calls us to repent, He's got great promises. And I'm going to end off with the one in Laodicea. My wife and I, we had the privilege 2 years ago to actually visit this ancient city to walk the streets of Laodicea. And this is the church where Jesus says, you are not hot, you are not cold, you are lukewarm. Jy is louwarm. And he calls them to repent. And then he says this in verse 19 to 20, I correct and discipline everyone I love. You see, if your life has no discipline, if God is not disciplining you, the Bible says in Hebrews, actually, you are an illegitimate child of God. So every person who's a born-again Christian should have Jesus, should have the Holy Spirit bringing repentance in your heart. Anyway, that's a different preach. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I want to say to you, when you repent, this is the heart of Jesus. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come in as a friend, as one who comes to sit at your table and to share a meal with you. Those who are victorious, and this is the promise, those who are victorious, i.e. those who repent, will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on His throne. Who wants to sit with Jesus on His throne? You cannot get there without repentance.